would like to thank Karen Jacob West for sponsoring the learning today. Lila Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Aliyah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yoshua ben Shimon Dov, ben Hashem should have an Aliyah. So we are up to a brand new Mishnah. Perek Beis Mishnah Dalid, where we have a new concept, but a continuation of the previous Mishnah's person. Meaning the same person is talking, but it's a new Mishnah and a new concept. So who was our statement? Let's review. Who said what they said last week, and what did they say? What was the last Mishnah about, and who said it? Anybody remember? I didn't put it on here. Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Danasi, and what did he say?
Stay away from government.
Right. Stay away from government. Okay, so it was about government, Russia's. So remember that. When we read this Mishnah, because again, we'll keep hammering this home. Whenever we're trying to understand a Mishnah, one of the things we want to ask, and we'll see in the Mefarshim, is how does this Mishnah relate to the previous Mishnah? Is there a connection? So we will see, actually, in the first source, that this Mishnah can be explained as a direct follow-up from the previous Mishnah. But first, let's see what our Mishnah says. So source A on the top says, Huaya Omer. So he used to say, Rabban Gamliel, the son of Yehuda Nasi, used to say, "Asei ritzono kirtzoncha, make your will like his will, kidei shi'aseh ritzoncha kirtzono, so that he will make your will like his will." Okay, so the question is, who are all these pronouns? We'll have to figure that out. Who's he in both of these phrases? And then it continues, "Batel ritzoncha Mipnei ritzono, you shall nullify your own will against his will. Kidei shi'vatal ritzon acherim mipnei ritzoncha. So there he will nullify other people's wills against your will. So we have two clauses that seem to be related to each other. One is do the will of this thing, person, etc., in order that he does your will. And then there is don't do your will if it is against this person or things will, in order that they will be mevatel, will cancel out other people's will for your will. Okay, so what in the world is going on? It's semi-cryptic, so let's try to understand what's happening. So first, we'll just get a few explanations out of the way. We're not going to spend or dwell too much time on it. But the first is Iyabar Benel, who does connect it, at least in one of his Mefarshim, to the previous Mishnah. So if we're thinking in terms of the previous Mishnah, how would you explain this Mishnah? What's this Mishnah talking about? Whose will should you do? Connect it to the previous Mishnah? The government's will, right? So if you, again, it's not, right, very, you're right, and that's going to be most of the Mefarshim, but you're going to see some Mefarshim that are going to say that this is a direct connection to the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, be careful when you're dealing with governments, and now here's a follow-up, an explanation. What does that mean to be careful when dealing with governments? So do what they want you to do. Why? You have to kiss up to them, because then they're going to help you out, right? Again, hopefully, right? So it's a very different explanation than maybe we're used to if we read this Mishnah before. And believe me, again, most of the Mefarshim are going to say differently. But for now, let's just read source number one, the Iyabar Benel. So Iyabar Benel says, "The Efshel Lefarish Asei Ritzono Kirtzoncha Al Harashus Asher Zachar." It's a follow up from the government Mishnah from beforehand. Ki Achareishim Amar Hevu Zehirim Barashus. After he said, "Be careful." Bear inyan ha'azara hi v'omra asei ritzono shel melech o'asar asher ta'avor lefanecha b'zrizus v'chefetz gadol. So when you're going and you're presenting yourself in front of this government official, then you have to do what they say and what they want. You do it with great alacrity and with great energy. K'mosha ta'o se ritzoncha k'dei sh'arishus yaseh ritzono ritzoncha k'ritzono. Because then they're going to follow. They see that you're motivated and you want to help them, then there's a good shot, that's your best chance, that they're going to help you when needed. V'chen tibata The same thing for the second clause is that you shall nullify your own will for their will. So if they want you to do something and you don't want to do it, still you should do it. Because then if you want to do something and other people don't, then they will follow you and not these other people who want to do other things. Right now, it's interesting. He points out, what doesn't it? What should it have said? Right? If you followed up in a parallel form. Batel your will, so nullify your will for their will, in order that what? What would you have thought it should have said? I should nullify my will for their will, because, what's the converse of that, or the inverse?
So that they will nullify theirs for me.
Right, so that they'll nullify their own will for me. That's not what it says.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that they'll nullify their will for me. It says they'll nullify somebody else's will. Right? So the Bar Benel says here, Vine lo amar shivatel harashus ritzon no, babor ritzon ha'oved lefishikvar amar she'in mekarben lo adem eletzorach atzman. You can't expect them to nullify what they want. They're never going to do that, because they only care about themselves. So at the very least, they'll mess somebody else over for your sake, but they're not going to mess themselves over for your sake. They're not going to sacrifice themselves. V'imkein, heim lo yivatel ritzon atzmacham b'shum tzad. It's never going to happen. But they'll mess somebody else up. It's a pretty fascinating read. Now, that's it's an interesting way of putting it, because if you're not going to read it in terms of the government, and you know we're going to read it in terms of Ritzono as being God, right? You should do God's will, which is going to be most of the Mefarshim most of the time explaining that that's what we're talking about. And you have to contend with this. Why is it that we switch that you should be Mevatel God's, you should mevatel your will for God's will, so God's going to be mevatel other people's will for you? Why is God being mevatel other people's will for you? What is that? That sounds like a strange thing that God would do. So just think about that as we go forward. Okay, so now, that's the Bar Benel, it's one explanation. Now, let's look at Rashi's second explanation. This is also not a run-of-the-mill explanation. Most people don't explain like Rashi. And he said, and as we read it, try to ask another question on Rashi's explanation. So Rashi says, "Hu haya Omer, Rabban Gamliel." So we're tying it to the previous author of the statement. So it's Rabban Gamliel says, "Atzei ritzono kirtzoncha, make your will like his will." She'afilu b'sha'a she'ta'asecha fetzecha, ta'asel l'shem shamayim. So even when you do your own things, your own voluntary activities, do it for the sake of him. Now tie this in. We've seen this concept before. This is something else that I want to start doing more and more and more. Now that we've seen so many Mishnayos, we're going to get a repetition of concepts. There's going to be things that we've seen before are going to come up either explicitly in Mishnayos or for sure in the commentaries. So here's a concept we've seen before. What concept is this? Anybody remember what Mishnah talked about this? When you do things, your own things, do it l'shem shamayim. Anybody remember? There's a Mishnah that said, b'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Right? Said it explicitly. You should do everything that you do, all of your ma'asim, all of your voluntary things that you do, when you eat, when you sleep, etc., do that for the sake of heaven. So I'm going to eat for the sake of heaven, I'm going to sleep for the sake of heaven. Right? So that was an explicit Mishnah. So Rashi's saying that this Mishnah, which says, do your will, do his will, make your will his will, is saying, do what you do for his sake. L'shem Shemayim, for God's sake. Can you think of a reason why this explanation doesn't really fit so well? Do your will, when you're doing your thing, do it l'shem shamayim. What do the words say? Asay ritzono kirtzoncha. Do his will like your will. And Rashi's saying, when you do your own things, do it for his sake. What's wrong here? Right, it's the opposite. He's flipping it. It should have said, according to him, do asay ritzoncha kirtzono. Do your will like his will, meaning for his sake. But that's not what it says. It says do your will for his will. So it doesn't really fit in the structure of the words the way Rashi's saying. It's a nuanced point, so if you didn't follow it, don't worry about it. But either way, according to Rashi, the explanation here is that do l'shem shamayim, that's the message, and it ties back to something we've heard about previously, that you should do everything l'shem shamayim. Yeah. So when you're dealing with the government, with the government, do it l'shem shamayim. I guess you could.
But you're not talking about. We said that it's not Hashem, it's talking about God.
Well, that's according to the Barba Nelson.
Is Rashi saying that he could do it for?
I don't think. I mean, Rashi doesn't tie it to the government, so I wouldn't. I wouldn't put Rashi in the government aspect. I would say this is a general statement of anything that you do. Now, if you're going to say this, let's ask another question on Rashi. If Rashi is just saying that Rabbi Gamliel is telling us that you should do everything L'shem Shemayim, then what's the problem with that explanation? Okay, maybe the rest of the Mishnah, but what meaning from the way I framed it already, we've already had this idea, so it's just repeating an idea that we've already had. So anytime we have a new idea that you're just repeating an old idea, you're gonna presumably at least ask a question as to why am I repeating the same idea that was said before. Now you can answer that question, but it's at least a question to ask. You're just repeating a similar concept that we've had. Rashi's not going to address that because if you remember, again, just reviewing concepts that we've seen. Now it comes over and over and over again. Rashi's commentary is one of those earlier commentaries that doesn't elaborate a lot. It doesn't analyze. Rashi on Pirkei Avos doesn't analyze what Pirkei Avos is saying. He gives you a brief snippet of how he understands the, you know, quote unquote pshat of the Mishnah. So he's not going to go elaborate. Rashi's commentary is going to be one short little line over and over and over again. Short line, short line, short line. He's not going to start saying, oh, but we saw here this, and we saw there that, and you can read this drash over here, and you could read this another way, and another way, and another way. No, it's just one quick statement. So Rashi's not going to address that question of, oh, maybe it's a question on me because I'm saying it's a previous Mishnah that we've already seen before. So we just take it at face value. Rashi connects it to a previous Mishnah. Okay, yeah. Keep turning
last
to get a drink of water.
At the end of the class, we were talking about the shoot. And then the last thing was maybe we're talking about the leaders, not the government. I mean, not the tzibur, we are talking about the leaders. Now, it can be very good thinking for a leader. I said it to Norah, I mean, you have to listen to your people.
I say ritzo no, but then it shouldn't. But then I wouldn't say ritzo. Ritzo no is singular.
When you come to,
right.
to election or something, they promise you things that they know that you need, that they need.
Right, so I hear you. It's a nice idea. It would be a little bit of a stretch because it should have said, I say ritzon chem, or some meaning in the plural.
Right.
It's ritzo no is singular.
Ritzo no.
Right, you're saying ritzo no means the people.
Ritzo no, from the congregation of all the people
right.
I mean, they need to do it.
It's a nice idea, and the message is true. I'm just not sure if that's what the Mishnah is saying. But you could read it in there if you want to. But it's a little bit of a stretch with the words. Okay, good. So you have Abarbanel ties it to the government. You have Rashi who says it's about doing things l'shem shemayim. And now we have the main crux of all of the mefarshim now is that it's talking about doing the will of God. And now we're going to elaborate on what exactly does that mean. What does it mean the Ritzon Hashem? And there's really going to be this section, where we're in the realm of Ritzon of God, that's what the Mishnah means, we're going to have two different mahalchim, two different approaches to try to understand this. And the first one is going to be in terms of motivation. We're going to look at what does it mean, Ritzon Hashem, in terms of what our motivation should be. And the second is going to be in terms of what does this elusive concept of the will of God actually mean. It could be a little bit of a dangerous concept. We actually spoke about this yesterday during the Gemara Shir. It came up tangentially, is that who's to define what the will of God is? What does that mean? And is the will of God different than the mitzvos of God? Why are those two separate things? So we'll get to that. That's part two. So let's see part one for now. This is source number three, starting with Rabbeinu Yonah and going on to source four, five, and six. So source three starts here with Rabbeinu Yonah. Hu haya omer aseh ritzono kirtzoncha. So kasher ha'adam oseh ritzon atzmo. So when you're doing your own thing. Now this is similar to, as a starting point to Rashi. So we're talking about you're doing your own reshus type of ideas. You're doing something that's your own volition. You're not talking about in the mitzvos realm. It's ritzon. It's what you want to do, quote unquote. So when you do kasher adam oseh ritzon atzmo, when you do your own thing, what sort of energy and motivation do you put into that? When you make a decision, when you use your own will to do something, presumably you're going to do that with some excitement, some energy, right? So kasher adam oseh ratzon atzmo b'chefetz v'taiva, you do it with this energy and this desire. Ken yaseh lo ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, you should use that same energy and desire when you do what God wants. V'lo lahafrid ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisbarach v'ratzono. And you shouldn't distinguish, this is much as a second idea here, is that there shouldn't be, this is what I want and this is what God wants, and those are two separate things. There should be an attempt to fuse those two together. There should be God and me want the same thing. And so you Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisbarach V'Ratzono Ach Laso Shneim Devar Echad. It should be one unified whole. Rotzolomer Shlo Yelo Ratzon Kiim Devar Shul Ratzon Lifnei Hashem. I shouldn't have any desire or will except what God wants for me. This is a hard concept, and we don't. It's not really practical at this point. We have to see. We'll elaborate on what it means. But there's really two ideas here. There's the motivation that I should have should be like the motivation that I have for my own thing. And then the second thing is that I shouldn't really have my own thing. My own thing should be God's will. And that should be done with excitement and enthusiasm. Yeah.
Okay, so now let's get back to observing someone who's doing his own thing. Are we talking work? Are we talking recreation? Are we talking learning? Are we talking spending time? I mean, like, what are we talking about?
Right, so that's a good question. Is what is ritzono? And the idea so far, according to Rabbi Yonah, again, we'll elaborate on this as we see the other sources. Rabbi Yonah doesn't explicitly say, but it sounds like everything. There shouldn't be anything absent God, meaning any decision that I make should be what God would want me to do here. And doesn't sound like just in a quote unquote mitzvah realm. It sounds like when I'm doing anything.
Taking my kids to the park, God would want me to do that because it makes me feel so happy.
Maybe.
I'm cooking a nice meal because
everything.
Yeah, everything. So then it's every aspect of your life.
Right, which is actually similar to what Rashi is saying. So we'd have to maybe we're too harsh on Rashi a little bit. But yes. So let's keep going. So source number four. Pirkei Moshe says, the Amnam, so first he quotes Abarbanel's idea, Amru hu aya omar sha'asu ratzono kirtzon cha kadesh yasa ratzono kirtzon. No, efshar shiyet shav el harashus hanisra. So it could be that this is relating to the concept of government that we saw previously. That's what the Abarbanel says. Kamosha pirshas ksas and mefarshim. Some mefarshim explain that way. But hu mevur ba'atzmo, and that it's self-explanatory as to what it means in terms of, you know, kissing up to the government, doing what they want, so that they'll do what you want. Amnam, he says, however, I don't think that that's the right explanation. Ha'perish ha'nachon etzlihu, the correct explanation to me is, shushab el ritzon Hashem isbarach. We're talking about the concept of God's will. Va'amar, shishtadel ha'adam lasos ritzon Hashem isbarach, k'moshu mishtadel lasos ritzon atzmo. So similar to the first part of Rabbeinu Yonah, is that when I should do the will of God, I should try, I should attempt, my desire, my motivation should be similar to that when I do the thing that I want to do. Yirta ki kemosh yiratzon atzmo yaseh oso besimcha b'tub levav, when I do what I want to do, right, the things that I choose to do, presumably I'm doing it with happiness and with goodness of heart. V'lo yimna'u shum tirda v'shum davar michutz. Here's another element, he's adding an element here. It's not just what my motivation should be in terms of that passion, but it's also that what happens when I'm doing my own thing and something blocks me. There's an impediment in the way. So if it's my own motivation, what am I going to do? I'm going to push it out of the way. I'm going to try really hard. But if it's somebody else's desire that I do this and an impediment comes in the way, right? What are you going to do? Gonna give up because it's an excuse. I can't do it. I'm sorry. There's something in the way. So, but if it's what I want to do, I'm gonna push out of this. So for God, you should treat not just with the motivation, but in terms of the follow through, you should do it as if it was your own thing. You should do it. You should follow through. Yisbarach. You should do it as to, again, do it with that motivation. Until this point, he's not saying going to the park necessarily. Everything that he said, I believe you could just read it as in terms of the mitzvah. So if God tells you to do a mitzvah, do that mitzvah with enthusiasm and do it following through, even if there's an impediment. Continuing, next paragraph. Ulios shemizan nimshacha mavucha rabba. But we're not done, because remember, the Mishnah has really four different parts to it, two separate clauses. Do his will so that he'll do your will, and then batel your will, nullify your own will, which is a separate idea. The difference between me saying do his will, that's sort of almost like on a positive frame of it, I should do what he wants me to do. And there's another thing, is that let's say my will is against that, so I should be batel my own will. The second, it's elaborating what might be inherent in the first, but it's elaborating, it's spelling it out, that I should be actively mevatel and nullify my own will if his will is different than that. So the Pirkei Moshe is picking up on that, and he says, Luzos, if you just would have stopped at do his will like your will, then you might have gotten confused. Right? You could have been confused by that. If we're just equating the two, I'm doing God's will like my will. So what's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? Let's say if you just stop there, let's say my will and God's will.
That is convenient for you.
Right, it's the same. Okay, great. So he wants me to do this. I'll do it. But let's say my will is the exact opposite of his will. Then what do I do? So that's why you need the second clause. So continuing here, im ken kasher yavo davar sheitzarech lasos ritzon atzmo ritzon Hashem yisbarach nir shiroi shiaser ritzon atzmo ech sheyeh. So maybe my will should take precedent. Kemo shiroi shiaser ritzon Hashem yisbarach. So if it's just a matter of motivation, so motivation is nice. God, you want me to do it, I'll do it with the same motivation. But against what I want to do, forget about it. So obviously that can't be. So that's why we need the second clause that says, no, you have to nullify your own will. But tell your will if it's against God's will. You don't win this battle. God takes precedent. If God's will is against your will, then you need to do God's will. So it's very nice to say you should make, like Rabbeinu Yonah said, make your will like God's will. Make them that they're equal. But let's say they're not. Let's say God doesn't want me to do this, but I do want to do it. It's my desire to do it. Well, the goal is to be mevatel your will. Ke'ilu amar shekasher yinagin ritzon chal ritzon Hashem yisbarach b'davar ma, hine az roi shetitbatel ritzon chal mipnei ritzon Hashem yisbarach, kidei sheyu yisbarach yivatel ritzon acher mipnei ritzon cha. And there, so don't do what you want to do. Do what God wants to do. And what's this? Let's ask another question. What's the problem with this whole Mishnah? Similar questions we've asked in the past. If we're talking about motivation, the reason why I'm doing things, my motivation of doing God's will should be what?
Right.
Lishma Antigonus, I should do it because it's the right thing to do. I shouldn't do it for reward. This whole Mishnah is based on reward. Do his will so that he'll do your will. Be mevatel your will so that he'll make other people do what you want them to do. That's very strange that should be my motivation. Now, if it was in the frame of government, then I get it. Okay, we're just talking practical, you know, politics. That's what you got to do. But in terms of the God aspect here, it's a little bit strange. So he says here, Vine az roi shetbat ritzoncha mipnei ritzon Hashem yisbarach, kadei shu yisbarach yivatel ritzon acher mipnei ritzoncha, ki lo yitztak b'shum ad shi yivatel Hashem yisbarach ritzono mipnei ritzoncha, lefi shiritzono hu atov b'meshu atov, asher lo yishtaneh, ach yivatel ritzon acher mipnei ritzoncha. Yeah, I don't have a full grasp on this, and I didn't see that many reforshim talk about it. Maybe I have to look a little bit harder as to why that concept of that other people, he'll stop other people doing what for your sake, vata other people's will for you. It's a little bit of a... That's not just a shalol lishma. That's like, I'm manipulating other people for your sake.
It's possible to talk
about
bad things.
We talk about... Oh, meaning they want to hurt you?
Yeah.
Right, that could be. That could be, yeah.
That's what I was going to comment
on. Yeah.
I'm
a kind of sore.
It's called a koshin.
Alai
ra. Yeah. nullify their influence.
Right. So yeah, fair point. I mean, he's not saying like, you know, you want them to, you know, take out your garbage for you, and you know, and they don't want to, and now God will say, ah, you do. If you're mevatel your will for me, I'll change their minds and let them take out the garbage. Right. So it's more on, they want to hurt you, God will protect you. So that I hear that a little bit more. Still the question of motivation for why I would want to do this. I ideally, if you take an Antigonus perspective, say, do this because it's the right thing to do. Be mevatel your will to God's will, because that's what the Torah generally wants you to do, and that's why you should do it. Yeah?
So you now see three mepharshim that references Hashem, but Hashem is not mentioned throughout this Mishnah. Mm-hmm. And then the question, I went back to the first paragraph, I looked through. Hashem is not mentioned anywhere. There's the Shem Shemayim, the Lower Shemayim. There's no mention of God so far in Birkei Avos.
That's an interesting point.
Why?
Okay, I don't know. I have, I'll tell you a story about that. So when I was my second year in Israel, so my Shana Bet, I was asked to speak to the Shana Aleph kids about the merits of coming back a second year. You know, if again, all things being equal, and colleges and parents and all that stuff, not the. So, what would you gain from coming back, Shana Bet? So, I said, you know, and for me personally, the difference between me coming back, Shana Bet, and Shana Aleph, I wouldn't be here if I just went Shana Aleph. It wouldn't have happened if I just went 1 year. So, I gained a lot in terms of learning and dedication, etc. So, I was basically explaining that and talking about how you can, you know, learn more seriously, etc., etc., etc. So I have a friend who's more on the into Hasidus and, you know, the heart a little bit more than the mind ish. So not that I'm against the heart, but he comes to me and he says, after I spoke, he says, you know, you didn't mention God once in your whole entire speech. So I said, I'm talking about why you should come back Shana Bet. I didn't mention God at all. So I took that as a fair critique. But now I have precedent, Barry saying, Perkei Avos doesn't mention God either. So, you know, So yeah, right, meaning it's a given. You're talking about learning Torah, it's like it's the backbone of everything. So, yes, part of the reason why the Mepharshim have the right to say this isn't talking about God, or some of them do, is because why doesn't it say God? Right? Just say God. But it doesn't. It says Ritzono. So that gives you a lot of wiggle room to work with, but it's a fair question, and maybe let's keep that in mind as we go further into Pirkei Avos. Let's see.
Does it mention God further on?
We'll have to. I assume so, but yeah. The fifth. Okay, so it's a fair point. All right, so let's see one more, the third paragraph here, where he elaborates a little bit more, gives us a slightly different idea. He says, so anything you do, yifal osam beratzon muchlat. So you should do it with sort of concrete motivation, not hedging your bets, not wavering. Or that your motivation is partly motivated by other things, or you're doing it because you have no other choice. Zulas tachlas atov b'meshuto. You should do it because it's the right thing to do. Omitzad yira shir me'onas, or because of some yira, some fear that you have. Ki po'el kazeh lo yeh ritzoni behechlet ve'eno po'el shalom. So it's an interesting idea. We're not going to elaborate on it, but it's similar to what we're talking about in terms of motivation. So he says your motivation should be either because it's the right thing to do, or that's the sort of the avas Hashem motivation, or the yiras Hashem motivation. Those are your two choices when it comes to serving God. And he fits that in. It's that's what it means, asei ritzono kirtzoncha. And whether or not that's clear or not in the Mishnah, we can fight about or argue about, but let's leave that for now. Basic point here is that he talks about doing God's will both. He mentions the concept that we saw in Ben Yon in terms of motivation. The reason why I'm doing it is to do it with alacrity, with zeal. It's a passionate thing that I want to do, as well as the fact that I should try to... he added the idea that Rabbeinu Yonah didn't do in terms of the impediments. If there's an impediment in the way, if it was my own will, I would force through that impediment. So I should do the same thing with God's will. If there's some sort of barrier, I should fight through that. I should be resilient and try to push through and not just use any excuse to stop. And then he added the final idea here in terms of the batel that we needed to add the batel, because otherwise you would have thought that if your wills were equal, it's just a toss-up. I could choose God's will, I could choose my will, and obviously that's not an option, so you have to say, if your wills collide, you should be mevatel your own will for God's will. Now, we would have liked it to say, because that's the right thing to do, and that's what the Torah requires of you to do, but for some reason he gives you this sort of external motivation, because then God's going to do good things for you. Okay, so we leave that part as a question, although this isn't the first time we've seen concepts that are against Antigonus's do everything l'shma for the sake of heaven and no other motivation. We've seen other Mishnahs and Perkei Avos, and obviously we've seen Psukim that say do it because you get rewarded for it. So here's a reward that you get for doing God's will. Okay, skip source number 5 because I think it's repetitive to source number 4. But look at source number 6, the Chidah. It's a slightly different spin, but along the same concept. So source 3, 4, and 6, and 5 as well, though we're skipping it, are all along the same theme of that I should do, in terms of motivation, I should do God's will like it was my own will. And here the Chidah says something along those lines, but slightly different. Asei ritzono kirtzoncha v'chulu perush. Somebody, Morenu, the something or other, Zechrono, the Bracha, something or other. Lefi sheyesh mitzvos, shehasechel mechayava. So we have different types of mitzvos. I think it's a concept we've seen also in the past. You have some mitzvos that, why do you do them? They make sense. And you have some mitzvos, why do you do them? It's God tells you to do them. Right? Chukas, it's a chok. I do it because it's a rule. Does it make sense? No, from a rational perspective. But there are some mitzvahs that are rational, and they make sense. So we have different types of mitzvahs. So it's l'fi sheyesh mitzvah shaseichal mechayavam, l'ze omrim shegam ba'asoso achas mehena al ya'asena ki'im l'kayim gzeroso yisparach. He says, even when you do the rational mitzvahs, the ones that make sense, why do you do them? This is a contentious topic. So why would you do a rational mitzvah that makes sense? So you could have two opposite approaches to this. Each one is different. I actually spoke about this, Shal says, a few weeks ago, I think, on Parshas Chukas. So you can either say that my motivation by doing rational mitzvahs, or let's say ethical mitzvahs, things that make sense to us from an ethical standpoint, is because it's the right thing to do to treat another person this way. Right, so it's the fact, you can either play up the fact that we like this internal ethical motivation absent God. So meaning I'm helping you, I'm doing chesed to you because it's the right thing to do. Even if God didn't tell me to do that, I would do it because it's the right thing. So that's one sort of speech you can give. Then the other opposite speech you can give is what the Chidah is saying, is like, no. Even when you do mitzvos bein adam l'chaveru, or a mitzvah that makes sense seichel-wise, what should your motivation be? Hashem told me to do it. Hashem told me to do it. I was once at a sukkah, so I was sitting in a sukkah with a family. I'm not going to give too many details here, but nobody from the shul. So I asked one of the sons who is learning in yeshiva, you know, what's the reason why we sit in the sukkah? Nice part of Torah. What's the reason why we sit in the sukkah? Look up to Shemayim and all. I was, you know, the whole thing. I want to see what he had to say. He said, because God told us to sit in the sukkah. It's the end of the Dvar Torah, right? You got nothing else to say. God told us to sit in the sukkah, right? So that's this approach. Why do I do the mitzvah? Because God told me to do the mitzvah. End of the, it can make sense. It could be a nice idea. It could be beautiful. It could build character. I do it because God told me to do it. And that's what, one second, that's why he says, Asei ritzono kirtzoncha just means, even for the thing that you want to do, do it because God told you to do it. That's it. End of discussion. Yeah.
If you're doing something that you feel is right,
right,
it's got to be what God tells you. He's not going to tell you something wrong.
For you, I believe that. But for not everybody would I trust their gut feelings. Okay, so sometimes you got to be careful about, you know, going on gut intuition. But I hear what you're saying. But that's the exact tension. Meaning, do I go? And this is something we spoke about in the past. Do I go by my intuition, by what feels right, what makes sense, or not? Or do I go just because God told me to do it? And again, it's, you can play out both parts to it. That he does going with no, you do it just because of God. And the reason why you would say that is because that ethical feeling that you have wasn't the same necessarily that they had in a different era, in a different culture, in a different meaning. Ethics change, morals change, things like that change. And 1,000 years from now, that gut feeling that you have is going to be, that somebody else has, that your great 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 grandchildren are going to have, is not the same gut feeling that you had. And if that's the case, so who said what's right? It's just relative. So the answer is no. God tells you to do it. That's why you do it. That's the Chida's approach here. Yeah, laser. That's it. The only reason I do is because the Torah tells me. Don't try to rationalize, etc. And even if it makes sense and you want to rationalize, still the reason you do it is because God told you to do it.
Yes.
Ve'ela. Right. Right. So everything is divine, and not just that everything is divine. We do it. Our motivation is because God told us to do it, not because of other things. Again, you could make an argument the other way, but that's what the Chida says. Yeah.
I think it's simply, if you train yourself that you believe in the nothing can ever come between you. Nothing. People have their own needs and desires and things that can sway their life. They don't need to, but they influence them.
Right. Right.
So if you just do it for the sake of Hashem and you always know that, then that means you're a good person, you feel good about this, and you understand it and you feel kind. No, if Hashem told you to do it, you do it and you train yourself that way.
Okay, so good segue. Flip the page, source number 7, in terms of the concept of training. And this will help us segue into the next part of the shir. The numbers seem to be messed up here. But so it starts 7, that's correct. I can't see on the top here. So he talks about, he's commenting on the parsha where it says, in Parsha's Kedoshim, "B'chisiz b'chu zebach shalmim la'Hashem l'irtzon chem tizbechuhu." So when you bring the korban sacrifice of the shlamim, you should do it l'irtzon chem, for your own ratzon. And that's similar to the Mishnah talks about, the ratzon. So here you're doing the sacrifice for your own will. So the Akedah Yisrael elaborates. Bihi akar masha amarnu harishona shloya maisa mifas machriach ela mehatchalat ritzonam. The reason why you should do this is it's almost the exact opposite of what we just said 10 seconds ago. Why should I bring this sacrifice? So answer the question according to the Chida. Why should I bring this sacrifice? No, because God told me to do it according to the Chida. Because I got Jake, you're right to him. I'm saying the previous source. Why should I want to do it? I should do it because God told me to do it. He says, don't say because God told you to do it. Rather, Ela Mahatcha Ritzonam, because you want to do it. Shehua Maisa Shalem Kibizuazahu Bilti Osel Derecha Emes Lo Yasue Varva Korcho. You're going to be forced to do it? We don't want you to be forced to do it. We want you to want to do it. Umizeh Hizir Achacham. In his commentary on Chumash, he quotes our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and says that's what the Mishnah means. You should make your Ratzon like his Ratzon. It wants to teach us la'atzmacha. So first he quotes the concept that we've seen already. Do it with the same desire. So here's the segue point. So that you can, through doing God's will, with the same cheshek. So you're doing the Torah, you're doing the mitzvahs with the same desire. So what does that get me? What does that do for me? So this is the underlining point that you should underline. Kedei sheyimshach min halimud vehahergel. Through the learning, through the habit of doing God's will with the cheshek, then you're going to learn that that's what your will is. Then you're going to want to do it first. That's going to be your motivation. So he's basically giving us a way to create that motivation, to connect it to God's motivation, is that you have mitzvos. You do the mitzvos, and you do the mitzvos with passion like it was your own will, and then you will learn and become habituated to, it's almost like you'll then have the intuition, not your own intuition, but the intuition infused with you through the Torah, that that's the right, it becomes you, and now it becomes your, God's will becomes your will. It's what I want. And then, okay, later on they tell you, oh, guess what? There's a pusuk that says that. Oh, no, nah, because I've internalized it. And everything becomes, and you're basically a walking Torah because you're doing things, your intuition, your gut reactions is fused with God's will, fused through the Torah. And I think, again, the important element here is that it's through the hergel, it's through the habituation, it's through following what God wants you to do with that passion. So now, this is going to segue into this second part here. So verses 8, 9, and 3. It should be 8, 9, and 10. But so source number 8. Now we're going to talk about this concept of Ratzon HaTorah, and I'm going to re-ask the question, as isn't this a semi-dangerous concept to say do what God wants? How do I know what God wants? So it's one thing if I'm just talking about in the element of mitzvos. It's clear cut. Not everything, as Freda said, is so clear cut. Not everything is just a clear-cut mitzvah. There's this whole other element. And now, again, think about things we've said in the past. I think we actually mentioned this last week. Look at source number 8. The Yaibitz. Ki ha-Torah lo titzava l'klal ha'am, rak dvarim kalam. So I'm sure some people will have a problem with this statement. The Torah is easy. Right? When God gives you mitzvos, it's for everybody. This isn't mitzvos for just an elite population. The mitzvos are for everybody. So there's basically the mitzvos, what he's saying, are the floor. And the floor is easy. But there's more on top of that to do. Aval yichidei skula titzava dvarim kashim. But there's harder things in the Torah, inherent in the Torah, for those that can follow them. Meaning all mitzvos you have to follow. I don't care if you're who you are. You have to follow mitzvos. But then there's harder things. There's sort of extra credit in the Torah. There's things that you can do that are harder that's going to ingrain within you this element of God's work. Just like you do what you want to do with all that motivation, etc., like we've seen. Do what God wants you to do as much as you can. Right? It's actually a puzzle. So my question before of how can it say that he's going to be batel other people's ritzons to you? It's a puzzle. The puzzle says ritzon yirav yaseh. God will do your will if you fear him. I say ritzono. Okay? Hanizar mi. Okay, so now we haven't said anything different yet, but here's where we elaborate on it. Hanizar mi bios asuros macholos asuros, ve'eno miskadesh b'mutrlo, ose mitzvos baro ve'eno ose ritzono. Remember last week when we said there's a concept, remember we said rashus means government. What's another way of reading rashus? Rishus. Not Russia, Rishus. What does it mean, Rishus? And what was the message? You should be careful with Rishus. What was the message? Things that are permissible. That was the whole cookie situation, right? This cookie is kosher. I can eat it. It's permissible for me to eat it. But be careful with the things that are permissible to you. So this is not a mitzvah. It's not usser or mutter, allowed or not allowed. It's a rishus. So it's the same exact idea. You have things that you can follow all the mitzvot. You can go through the checklist of the 613 mitzvot. Say, I did this one, I did this one, I did this one. But your eino miskadesh b'mutrlo. You didn't become holy through the things that are mutter, that are permitted for you. This is the concept of kadoshim to you. You should be kadosh atzmacha b'mutrlocha. Make yourself holy through the things that you're actually allowed to do. The Torah is just the mitzvot, the Targum mitzvot is the bottom, it's the floor, it's the minimum amount. Then there's more things that you can opt into. That's the Kadosh Atzmacha B'Mutalacha. You could do more. You could do extra credit. So what's the Aseh Ritzoncha? Ritzoncha, and the Ritzono is not talking about mitzvos. It should have said mitzvos if it meant mitzvos. It means the Ritzon. What's the Ritzon? It means the Rishus, the things that are optional. Okay, so let's read that inside and hopefully it'll make more sense. Aseh Ritzono Hanizar Mibios Asuros Machol Asuros Ve'enum Is Kadosh B'Mutalacha. So you follow all the laws, but you don't go above and beyond. Ose mitzvos boro ve'eno ose ritzono. You're doing the mitzvos, but you're not doing the will of God. It's fascinating. You can follow all the taryag mitzvos and still not be doing the will of God. It's crazy. Aval hamishaber ta'avaso kefi yechalto mimale ritzono boro. If you go above and beyond and you break those taivos, you don't eat those cookies, now you're doing the ratzon Hashem. That's the ratzon Hashem. Doesn't say do the mitzvos. He says do the ratzon. We're not talking about mitzvos. We're talking about ratzon. V'zek kirtzoncha shatem mashlim kavanatcha b'mesh tachbots b'leiv u'minefesh sof davar b'zeh amida ta'er ha'avadamiti. That's what it means to serve God. In the ratzon, in the mutter, in the reshus. Not the mitzvos. Mitzvos is simple. Mitzvos are easy. You don't get extra credit for that. That's the mitzvah. You got to do that. It's the ratzon. It's the will. It's the reshus. I think it's fascinating.
Not but, in public, when you were by yourself.
Right. Yeah, but that's another point. But yeah.
How do you distinguish this from kavanas and mitzvahs? Because we know you can be hand carrying mitzvahs without necessarily having kavanah. Kavanah is certainly a higher level. So how is this different?
Okay, so kavanah. Now, you could explain it as kavanah, but I think it is different. I mean, the difference between saying I should do things more shalem, which we've seen, we've referenced to that. I mean, there is a concept of shlemus in terms of doing the motivation well and doing the mindset well. I think that's an element of this, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying that there are things that you can have the perfect kavanos. You could do all the mitzvos with the kavanos. That's fine. But that's not what we're talking about, he's saying. He's saying we're talking about things that you're allowed to do, but you don't have to do. That's the Ratzon Hashem that you follow through on those things too. So Kavanos is separate. I think Kavanos is an important point, and you could read this Mishnah with Kavanos. I mean, if you look at the Akedah Yitzchak, he talks about the concept of doing it with Shlemus, Shalem. I think that Kavanos could fit into that, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about things that are allowed. That's where the Ratzon lives, doing Ratzon Hashem. Say it again. What?
It seems to be a number of things that we do that are rishus that are permissible.
Right.
Eating alone, not permissible.
Right.
And I don't see that as selling Hashem.
What do you see it as?
We're doing it in order to be mekayim mitzvahs, but to elevate mitzvahs to a level of kedusha. Eating is eating and physical activity.
Well, it's the same. I mean, it's the same. You're saying the same thing. No. So yeah, we're not done with this. So we'll see a few more sources before we end. But so it's good that we're grappling with this. It's a tough concept. But the concept is that there is a distinction between straight up mitzvos, sort of like concrete laws, and then there's sort of like an ethos to the Torah that we call the Ratzon Hashem. That's above and beyond, almost like a Lifnim Mishuras Hadin concept. That it's above and beyond what the actual law is, and that you're not. You can't get, like, let's say, necessarily, you can't be brought to a court of law and said, oh, you ate this cookie, right? Okay, but show me the law that's a problem. And it's not a law. There's a concept in the Torah of Kedoshim Tiyu, but I can't legally get you for that. I can say you're not fulfilling God's will, because God's will is Kedoshim Tiyu. It's basically there's operating principles, and we'll see a few more examples in a second. There's operating background principles within the Torah that aren't strict mitzvos in a legal sense, but it's clear that this is what God wants you to do, and that's what Aseh Ritzon Kirtzoncha means, is work on that. Work on those things. Because let's see another example. Look at source number 9. So this is Rav Asher Weiss, and his Minchas Asher has a piece on Ritzon HaTorah where he has a few pages on this. I just quoted to you a little bit of this, where he gives you a background to it. So he says, Hine Pashut Hadavar Dimovat Tayag Mitzvot Shebetorah Shumal Adam Lekayem Mitzvot Rabot Shaf He Minatorah Elo Shelo Nimnu B'Minyan HaTaryag Mishelo Nemru B'Lashon Sivui. He says, don't get caught up in 613 mitzvos. It's clear that there's 613 mitzvos. That's the mitzvos. But there's so much more than that inherent in the Torah that are not commandments. But it's still what God wants you to do. Right? It's a new category. It's not we generally think in terms of mitzvos and averos. This is not mitzvos and averos. But it's still what God wants you to do. That's the ratzon of Hashem. Meforash mikomakom ratzon Hashem shi'aseh osam adam v'chay bahem v'ratzon zeh l'meid imanu mitok Torah Hashem. It's not an intuition that I have. It's inherent in the Torah. So meaning I have to know Torah. I have to read Torah to get this ethos of what the Torah is about. But it's not an explicit mitzvah. You can't think in terms of laws, mitzvos and averos only. There's this added element of the ratzon of Hashem, of the ratzon HaTorah. Go to the next. Actually, skip for a second. Go to, it's a little bit confusing, go to the left-hand column in the same part, the first full paragraph where it says, Shnei Drachim. So if this is the case, just to give you a background before we read this paragraph, if this is the case, when we are in somewhat dangerous territory, because if I'm saying that we can not, we don't just look at the Targum Mitzvot, we look at other things and create the Ratzon, the will of the Torah, so I can look in the Torah and say, what's the Ratzon HaTorah? What's the Ratzon Hashem? Don't be a Zionist. What's the Ratzon HaTorah? I'm going to look in. Be a Zionist. Right? Again, my point is that you can look in the Torah and see lots of things. Right? So it could be a dangerous concept. So we don't want to give people sort of carte blanche to be the ones who say, like, I know what Ratzon HaTorah is. Right? Because you can mend and fuse your own wills and desires and readings into what the Torah says. So you have to be it's a very careful, dangerous topic. So he says, so then how do I, if I'm telling you this exists, and remember, he's not the one making this up. We already saw it in the Yavetz, which is a few hundred years before that, is that there's this concept of not just mitzvos, but of Ratzon HaTorah. So how do I determine what's Ratzon HaTorah and what's what I want disguised as Ratzon HaTorah? Right? How do I get that? So he says here, v'shnei drachim yesh, shebehem lemeidim anu ma ratzon Hashem b'torah. So there's two ways for us to do this. Yesh lemeidim anu mitoch mitzvos HaTorah, in yanam v'kavanasam. So there's ways to do this by looking at the Torah, looking at the mitzvos, and looking at the background, looking at the point, looking at what the message of those mitzvos are. V'yesh lamadnu mitoch mikrei HaKodesh shenemru b'lashon sipur dvarim. And there's also the stories, what happened to Avram, what happened to Yitzhak, what happened to Moshe. Lo b'mitzvos, ach mitoch psukim elu niglal anu ratzon Hashem. But you see it within psukim. So it's not a mitzvah, but it's clear that this is what the Torah wants. Again, it's still a dangerous concept because you can read into a story of Avraham, you know, on a drash level, what your message should be. So you got to be a little bit careful with this. What Rav Asher Weiss does in the subsequent piece, we're not going to go through it now, is give you a bunch of examples from this. One of them that he gives is the concept of tsar bali chayim. Don't cause pain to an animal. Where do you get this concept of tsar bali chayim? Right. So, but good. But here's his point. His point is that's still. You have shiluach hakan of sending away the mother bird before you take the eggs. You have other things of not working the animals too hard, etc. But you can look at those as black and white, cold, cool laws. And that's it. And I follow the laws and I'm done. And he's saying if you do that, that's not Ratzon HaTorah. You can extract, if you know the ethos of the Torah, if you read into it, what the real message behind it is that there is a background principle that we have to treat animals nicely. So it's not just this black and white mitzvah. There's a background, a ratzon of the Torah, that we can now create new concepts. Right? So let's say it's not shiluach hakan. It's nothing to do with a bird, but it has to do with me stepping on ants. Or it has to do with me, how do I treat my pets? Or it has to do... So that's a totally different concept. That's not shiluach hakan. But I learned from Shiluach HaKam, the Ratzon HaTorah is, this is how I treat animals.
Which can you
Right, and that's the second point. That's not a mitzvah, but I'm looking in the story of Rivka to see how to treat animals. Right? So that's a new, that's not a mitzvah, tariyag mitzvah, but it's a message of the Ratzon HaTorah. It's clear that this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to treat these animals nicely. Okay? So that's, it's a new concept in terms of it's not just black and white mitzvah saveros, there's a Ratzon HaTorah. This is a huge thing, and it's important for us to think about it. I don't want to go to, I can give you the piece in the Chasasher, maybe one time we'll go through it, the whole thing, so there's lots and lots of examples he gives, but we're out of time for today. I want to close with one last application of this. This is that source in the bottom, which says source number 3, it should be source number 10. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who's early 20th century, so before Minchas Asher, and a few hundred years after the Yavetz, spells this out also in his Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, and he applies it to Bilam. So we'll have a nice Parsha connection here to end off with. So what did Bilam do wrong? What did Bilam do wrong? God told him, he keeps asking God. God told him, don't do it. He asks again. God says, okay, do it. Right? So he does it. And then God yells at him, why'd you do it? So Bilam, what do you want from me? You told me I could do it. And so what did Bilam do wrong? Exactly. So look at source number 3 of Elchanan Wasserman. It says, "Lufi pshutei amikros nira shezaya abono shel Bilam arasha." This was Bilam's sin. To the chora acharisha amar imiten li balak male beto kesef zahav lo uchal avod lavor es piyashem. So Bilam says straight out, "You can give me all the money you want. I can't violate God's mouth, His word." Mahi rishasu. So what did he do wrong? Aval ve'emes afshi yada Bilam hetav ki alichasa lekalas Yisrael neged ratzon Hashem. Bilam knew this isn't what God wanted him to do. He knew it wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. Lo chashash, he didn't care. Kozman shelo ayalot tzivoy mefura shelo leleich. Since God didn't tell him explicitly, don't go, even though he knew God didn't want me to go, so he went. Valkein amar lo uchal avor es pi Hashem, pi daika, right? It's God has to tell me. If he doesn't tell me, okay. About Ratzon Hashem lo ayah chashash be'enav lasoso v'zeo rishah. So he didn't care about what God actually wanted. Again, there's a huge lesson to this, both in terms of Avodas Hashem, and you can make a nice drasha in terms of your Bein Adam HaChavero, and any relationship you have. Is everything you do just because of a mitzvah, a tzivoy? If you tell me to do it, I'll do it. If you don't tell me to do it, I won't do it. And I'm just going to go, etc. Letter of the law? Or is there a background will that I should intuit from either in a religious Torah sect, context, from the psukim, from the stories, from the motivation of the psukim, so I have to find out what that ratzon of Hashem is. It's not just that tzivoy, black and white. It's should I eat this cookie, should I not eat this cookie? This envelops everything. All of my decisions should be through this lens of what does God want me to do right now? What's the ratzon Hashem? And then I should do that, and I should want to do that like it was my own will. And if I don't want to do it, I should be mevatel my own will because that's what God wants me to do. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And then just in terms of if you want to apply it to your own relationships, so do I look at what my spouse, my kids, my parents tell me black and white, do it, don't do it? And that's, you didn't tell me I can't do it, so I did it. But I know from previous experience, I know from your facial expressions, I know from intuition that me doing this is not what you want, and it's not just about you giving me an explicit command or demand as to what you want me to do. It's about me trying to find the ratzon of this person that I'm interacting with, even if it's nonverbal, even if it's not the P of exactly what they're saying. Right? It's not the words, it's not the verbalizations. There's more to it, the behind it, that's finding out what the ratzon is. According to this, we read the Mishnah, is that that's what we're talking about. Don't just go by explicit words and commands. Go by what is the inner, deeper motivation. What do they actually want from us right now? And according to Rav Elchanan Wasserman, that's what Bilam did wrong. Yeah. So why Bilam was a prophet and all that stuff is beyond for now. It's a good question. I think this is how life works. God, not everything is black and white. And God gives you this wiggle room in the middle to do all these rishus type of things that aren't explicitly demanded. And that's where the meat and potatoes of what He wants you to do is. Yes, the Torah is the bottom. It's the starting point. But there's so much more behind it that should motivate and inform all of our decision making throughout the day. All of those times where I'm going shopping and I'm bringing my kids to the park and all that, that all falls onto the Ratzon Hashem. What is God, based on my knowledge of Torah, what would God want me to do right now? Not just the mitzvos, what would God want me to do right now? And I think we probably know that answer more than we're willing to tell ourselves, and we're very quick to ignore that Torah intuition as this is the wrong thing to do, and say, oh, it's not an exact mitzvah, I can get away, it's a cool... What does God want you to do? That's the point of the Mishnah.